And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are listening on the podcast feed, I am getting ready to go. We are getting ready to go live on YouTube right now. And as we wait for the gremlins at YouTube to work their magic to get us live, which we are live, and I will make sure that it's, of course, showing private, but don't worry, that'll be, I don't know why it always does that, but I'll make sure it's public momentarily. No, it's not made for kids. It's up here, and we should be public now. So, yep, it is public. It's here, and I'm going to share it. Copy. Paste. Post. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle, live here on YouTube. My name is Vinny, and as you could tell, I have a different co-host today. Unfortunately, we do want to send out our condolences to Christy, my normal co-host. Her family, she did lose her aunt last week, so she's been dealing with a lot of the stuff basically that I went through the prior week. My grandmother had passed the prior week, and that is why we are broadcasting to you live from the Maria Apicella Studios for Suds in the Squared Circle. But if you do recognize her, she has been on Days for Dummies, which is on TED 4 podcast, Professor Angela. Angela, how are you today?
I am well, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm very excited to take part in this with you tonight.
Yes, and I am very thankful to you and very excited as well to bring you on. It was a last minute thing, but you know what? We are a podcast community for those of us who are doing soap opera podcasts. We support each other. You know, I will
It's
help.
a family.
Exactly. I helped out James Lott Jr. over the weekend, and it is. We are a family. We collaborate. And we don't compete because everybody's got different opinions and we all talk about different things. So for those of you who did not watch Dockside of the Bay last week, I'll just kind of go into a little bit. The reason why the studio's name is Maria Apicella is for my grandmother that passed away back a couple of weeks ago. She's the person that got me into wrestling. She and I would watch Monday Night Raw on a weekly basis. She and I would, you know, it gave me pleasure that, you know, for my birthday back, I want to say it was 2017, maybe 2016, I was able to bring her to a wrestling event in Bridgeport. It was a live event that Chris Jericho was at. And, you know, the fact that she got me into it, she made such an impact on my life. So, in her honor, that's why our studios are named the Maria Apicella Studios. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. And Angela, while have been in front of the camera before for other podcasts, you've never been on Suds in the Squared Circle. So introduce yourself, give us a little bit of your background and how you got into soaps.
My name is Angela Ryan Duncan. I've written for a few soap media outlets, interviewed a lot of actors, had a lot of fun with it. I absolutely love it. I have watched soaps my entire life. Typical story. My mother watched all of NBC and then General Hospital as well. Her mother watched just ABC. And my father's mother and aunt watched CBS. So I got all of them. When I was in high school, I'd always call my mother at lunch. And if something exciting was happening, because she got the Soap Opera Digest, she'd say, "Do you have any tests this afternoon? You want me to call you out so you can come home and watch Days of Our Lives with me?" And I always would. And, you know, I've just always been a soap fan. General Hospital is my all-time, and my favorite character is pretty much anybody who knows anything about me is Carly Spencer. Her pairing is Jason and Carly. I've been a fan of both since 1996. And I love soaps. I think that soap opera actors are the hardest working actors in the business. The sheer amount of content they put out in the time that they do it, I'm just in love with the entire genre. I just am. And their actors are wonderful. So nice to interview. And I just, it just makes me love it more.
Yeah.
And I do this because I love soaps and I want to help promote them in any way I can. So we do our podcasts. I do my Days for Dummies podcast on Sundays with Matt and Kat. And then Monday nights, I do a podcast, The Corinthos Coffee at the Brady Pub.
Okay.
DH of Days. We do them on Facebook. And I have some exciting podcast stuff coming you guys' way soon. I'll be revealing more of it over the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting things going on. And our soaps, I feel, are getting a little bit of a resurgence, especially GH. I'm so excited about the new head writers and, you know, a lot of things, fun things are going on. So my kids are grown and gone.
Yep. Okay.
Kind of, you know, me and the pup. And so I have time. I'm a nanny as my full-time job, but the kids are in school. So I have my days free and I just do this and I love it.
That is great. Yeah. And we're happy to have you here. And, you know, it seems like it's a similar story for everybody that are, you know, podcasters for this genre, is that, you know, you grow up, you know, when you're home at school, there's one of two things you're watching, either game shows or soap operas. You know, when I was younger and we got off the bus at our grandmother's house, we used to watch the Disney Afternoon. But on days that we had off, we always used to watch Family Feud and Price is Right. And then, you know, with my mother, it was the ABC soaps. It was One Life to Live, All My Children, General Hospital. And then when I got older, I got into the genre myself, started watching General Hospital a little bit here and there, but really got religiously into it back in 2010. So mm-hmm. It's been 14 years for me watching it religiously. For those of you that, you know, have been fans of this podcast, you know, I don't have a favorite character per se, but I do like Jason. I'm happy to have him back. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, following you on Twitter and seeing some of the stuff, or Twix, as I like to call it, following you on Twix, it's, I have seen how, you know, you pointed out numerous times that Sonny is a true heel. You know, we look at him lovingly. We look at him like he's, you know, a fan favorite. He's the lead actor, but he's a mob boss, a legend, you know, but he's a mob boss. So he really is a bad guy.
Yeah.
And you point that out, you know, tremendously all the time. And seeing that your favorite character is Carly, you know, who is your favorite pairing with Carly?
Jason.
Okay.
Has been since 1996. I can wax poetic on that for hours. You probably don't want to get me started. but absolutely Jason. And it's not that I don't have any of my issues with Jason. I absolutely do. Carly's my favorite character. Jason and Carly are my favorite pairing. Outside of Carly, I have issues with Jason. But, and my issues with Sonny aren't that he's a mob boss, because it's a soap opera and that's fine.
Yeah.
My issues with Sonny is that he is toxic and abusive, like really bad.
Yeah.
And they confronted it once years ago when Christina had the abusive boyfriend.
Yes.
And then just went back to the status quo. And it was just disappointing because they could have used it as soaps have the anti-hero. They do. But he's just a bad guy. You know what I mean? I mean, the viewers all saw the big confrontation with him and Michael.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, he said, "Why did you do this?" And Michael told him, you know, "You betrayed my mother.
Yeah.
You lied to us all and you betrayed her and you betrayed us. And then you sided with Nina." And Sonny just kind of turned his head and almost rolled his eyes. Like, those things shouldn't matter. But they were big, big things.
They were, especially to a kid who... his brother was killed in a car bomb that was, you know, meant for Sonny, you know, and, you know, it's like Michael has seen a lot in his young life. He's in his early 30s, I assume.
Right.
And, you know, it's like he's seen so much. And while Sonny may, to most normal people, Sonny be like, you know what, it's my life. Why are you judging me on my life? or why are you throwing my life in my face? It's what I feel is making me happy that's most important. But, you know, Michael's like, well, but your actions have consequences. This is my mother. You know, she mourned you. We all thought you were dead. Nina hid you from. So you could see where Michael's coming from.
Absolutely. And like, the thing is like Michael and anybody acting like Michael doesn't have, don't mind that banging. I live in a house with old pipes and radiators.
Yeah.
So don't mind that. It's just when the heat comes on, it does that. But okay. Michael, anybody acting like Michael doesn't have reason to hate that man is insane.
Yeah.
Michael got shot in the head as a child.
Yep.
Because Sonny went out with him without guards to try to impress Kate. And when the bullets started flying, Sonny jumped on Kate and left his young son on his own.
Wow. See, I
Michael
wasn't
got
watching
shot
that.
In the head. No. You can, the scenes are on YouTube. It's disgusting. And then Michael killed Claudia because he was protecting Carly and Sonny.
Yep.
Or Carly and Jocelyn.
Yeah. Yeah.
After Sonny did what he did and whatever. And, you know, Carly and Sonny, well, mostly Jason and Sonny, because Carly had just given birth. They covered it up.
Yeah.
And Jason had given Sonny Michael's bloody clothes to get rid of. And for reasons passing understanding, Sonny kept them for years. And then Dante got involved and it all ended up coming out and Michael went to jail.
Yeah.
Jason set up a deal with Anthony Zakara.
Mm-hmm.
And said, we will leave Johnny alone. You protect Michael inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Sonny. He said, listen, Michael's in jail. I made this deal with Anthony. Sonny was mad at him and went, no, I don't, I'm not, you know, if Johnny acts up. And Jason was like, I don't care if Johnny burns down your house. This is Michael we're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
And then after that, when you know, Jason was like, I don't know if this deal's going to hold with how Sonny's acting. So he made a decision to go to prison.
Go to prison, yep.
To protect him. Sonny went to the prison to tell Michael that Jason was going to be there and then also had a visit with Anthony Zakara and told him the deal was off. And then Michael got raped before Jason got there.
You know, it's funny because after hearing that, there you can draw a lot of parallels between Sonny Corinthos and Victor Newman from Y&R.
Yeah.
You know, while Victor's not a mob boss, and I regret my words, unfortunately, on take two, I said that when I first started watching Y&R back in November, it was when Victor Newman was, you know, testing his kids, so he's playing like he's, you know, getting dementia or Alzheimer's, whatever. And I made a comment on take two and I said, Victor Newman is the fictional character of Vince McMahon, because I could see Vince McMahon doing that. Now, with all the stuff coming out about Vince, I want to take that comment back because I can't see Victor Newman doing anything like that. But that's for another story. Reaction to the Vince scandal is on the Squared Circle News, which is in the archives on this channel and the podcast network as well. But I could draw a lot of parallels between Victor Newman and Sonny Corinthos, because even in the current storyline that we see with Victor, you know, Jack is helping Nikki as her, you know, as her sober, you know, support system. Of course, I can't think of her sponsor.
Yeah.
And Jack and Victor are, you know, they are enemies, you know, they don't,
yes,
see eye to eye, that whether they're business enemies, whatever. The fact is he's not happy that Nikki is going to Jack. And I know that there's a personal boundary there because he was with Jack,
was married to Jack,
married to Jack, and Diane was with Victor at one point. So I understand that dynamic there. But if you love your wife and your wife trusts this man to be her sponsor, especially with what's going on, you know, you almost have to be, you have to be supportive.
Right.
You can't just be like, oh no, well, I don't like this guy, so he can't, you know. It's like a petulant child almost.
Right. And that's exactly Sonny Corinthos.
Yes.
Although, while I agree with you about, you know, Victor not doing the things like Vince McMahon did that he's in trouble. I mean, have you ever heard, you know, how Sonny was introduced on the show?
I know he used to run a strip club.
He did run a strip club. And Karen was a teenager,
yep.
17 years old, and wandered in there. She had been abused, sexually abused by her stepfather, had a lot of issues. Yep. And she was being tormented by Brenda. They were in high school. Brenda had taken pictures of her in the shower at the school and posted them all over town. And she had a lot of issues. She wandered into the strip club. Sonny preyed on her, got her addicted to drugs, had her stripping for him, and then had sex with her after she turned 18. And like was just, he was a predator.
Yeah.
He just was.
Yeah.
There's no two ways around. He actually told, you know, to get her to strip for him, he told her that, you know, she must have liked her childhood sexual abuse or wanted it. And like, and just really, I mean, it was disgusting. It was really disgusting.
Yeah.
And they redeemed the character because that Mo was such a great actor and they wanted to keep him. So they gave him Brenda, cleaned him up, gave him family and whatever. But I mean, I look at just the disgusting ways he has acted over the years, mostly to Carly. I mean, just it's just this, you know, shooting her in the head, taking her kids after because of the effect. I mean, just, and it's just, it's, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
That, you know, I have no problem with bad guys on soaps, but don't tell me that they're the hero.
Right.
And don't act like these people, I don't understand why they have to keep forgiving him.
Yeah.
You know, he killed Michael's biological father.
Right.
Has Ava manipulated him into it and then left with her. And it was just, I mean, it's just, and she had taken part in his son's death.
Yeah.
It's just disgustingness on top of disgustingness on top of disgustingness. And they have to keep forgiving him, which hurts their characters.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody should be allowed to hate this man.
You know, and it's funny because you look at Dante, who obviously is torn. Being, you know, being a cop and then having a mob, you know, a mobster as a father and knowing all this, you know, alleged activity. And I don't get it. He's being professional and all. But I'm sorry, but if I'm in that situation, I want to distance myself as much as possible. I can understand the internal struggle, but if you're a person of morals, at which I'm sorry, but any Italian is usually, you know, raised with, especially knowing Olivia and, you know,
right,
but then again, it comes down to the fact that maybe Dante does have a dark side that we may see at some point,
right?
You know, and maybe he'll get involved with Sonny, you know, because remember, he was brainwashed by you know, the guy in wherever it was, Turkey or something, you know, so he had to be deprogrammed for a while. So maybe there's something still lingering there for him.
It's possible, but I also think with Dante, it's about growing up without Sonny and then finding this father and whatever and having him. But tomorrow, you know, Sonny pretends, you know, always says that he supports that his son's a cop and knows that it's, you know, but then anytime Dante has to act like a cop, he gets like a petulant child about it. Yeah. And tomorrow, Sonny is going to be grilling Dante because he wants that information that Dante has that he's not allowed to share with him.
Right.
And he's going to be real pissy with Dante when he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
I completely agree with you. It's like on one thing, you know, Sonny says, oh, I respect the fact that you're a cop and everything, but then he wants to use it for his advantage. You know, so he doesn't want to say, oh, well, yeah, I know it's an ongoing investigation. There's stuff you can't tell me about it. But then again, on the flip side, looking at it from Dante's point of view, you know, if Sonny is the target of, you know, whoever shot at the MetroCorp and, you know, and somebody's actively against him, regardless of whether he's a crime boss or he's a criminal or anything, he should be made aware of the fact that, you know, his life is in danger.
He was against all of his better judgment. Jagger went and told him and tried to help him. And Jagger's issue with Sonny is Karen.
Yes.
Because Karen was the love of Sonny's life. And the fact that Sonny was allowed to throw Jagger cheating on Karen in his face. I do not understand why lightning doesn't strike this man every step he takes. I'm Italian and Catholic too. But it doesn't, so okay. And Jagger could only allude to what Sonny had done and not actually call him out for feeding a 17-year-old drugs and putting her on a pole.
Yeah.
It's a problem as well. But yeah, it's Jagger tried to tell him. even though he didn't want to, because it was the right thing to do.
Right. Yes.
But Sonny.
But now Sonny wants the inside information.
Right.
You know, he wants to be able to take care of things on his own with his own people.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because I do find it funny at times where, you know, when Sonny is, you know, being hunted, and they have a common enemy, that Sonny will help the PCPD or right. Sonny will help Laura. And, you know, it just makes for that funny dynamic where is he really a bad guy because he's helping out, or is he obviously he's in it for his personal gain?
That's the thing, is he doesn't do anything that's not going to benefit him.
Right. Exactly.
It's, you know, Sonny is always looking out for number one. Yes. Sonny loves no one more than he loves Sonny.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, he cries betrayal at the slightest hint of what he thinks is betrayal, but betrays he demands a loyalty he does not give.
And, you know, that does make sense in that. And that does bring up a lot of things that I've seen as well over the past with Sonny, because we just saw it with, you know, with Dex and Carly and Michael. You know, they Brick finds the money that Dex is getting from Michael, and mm-hmm. you know, Dex is in the hot seat, and Sonny's like, you know what, he's the mole, whatever, bring him down to the Pine Barrens. First time we got to see the Pine Barrens, you know, nice set there for the GH.
We have not seen them in many years. Yes.
And you know, what's funny to me is that, you know, when Carly finally talks Brick into letting her know where Sonny is, and she gets down there, you would almost think that Sonny would be like, wow, my ex-wife, who I, you know, screwed over, still cares enough about me to keep this guy in here to protect me.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I almost feel like even the same thing, you know, with Michael, when he goes off on Michael. He's telling you, yes, I wanted to take care, you know, wanted to put you in prison, but then I realized it would have hurt so many other people.
And the thing is that they didn't do it. Right. And instead of doing it, they turned around and started protecting him.
Yes.
But it's still betrayal. It's right. still, and everything, Carly's reasoning for this is sound.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Dex was able to plant the camera as big as a freaking baseball.
Yes.
And Sonny couldn't see it, and they got him on tape. Obviously, he's slipping.
Yeah.
And also, Carly knows that her and Jason have been wiping his butt for years and cleaning up his messes, mob and otherwise. And now there's no Jason, which is why she told Michael, you and Dex have to be his Jason. Together, the two of you have to be his Jason.
Yeah. Yep.
Because Sonny needs one. And he didn't have Brick. Yes, Brick was his second in command, but Brick's not in town.
Right.
My favorite part of the scene was when the guy handed Sonny the gun, which was so ridiculous, but that was like insane to me. No gun. Okay. You're taking this guy somewhere to kill him. You don't even care. Okay. All right. Letting that go. But my favorite part was when Carly showed up and she's trying to talk to him. And then he's like, get her out of here. And the guards grab her arms and she's like, no. And they drop her arms.
You're right.
Wow. That yeah. was you need to be shooting some more people, don't you think, Sonny? But Sonny doesn't actually kill people. The last person he killed was accidentally killing Julian.
Yeah.
And before that, I don't even know when.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, what does that tell you? Brick told her. For Brick to give her this location of Sonny, she would have had to tell him how she knew Dex was innocent.
Right.
And Brick, instead of going himself to tell Sonny, told Carly where Sonny was.
Yeah.
When Sonny was arrested, Brick went to Carly.
Yep.
When Carly needed the antibiotics for Brick, Brick lied to Sonny about what was going on.
Yeah.
And covered for Carly.
Yep.
Because these men know who is loyal to them. And they know it ain't Sonny.
Yeah.
And I like when they play those beats, which they definitely did.
Yes.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen when Jason comes back, because I don't think things are going to be kumbaya with him and Sonny.
No, and you know, it's funny because even Steve Burton on his podcast said, I love seeing all the people think, oh, Jason's doing this or Jason's doing that, and all those different possible storylines. Like, no, it's nothing that you guys are thinking about.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's not going to be all kumbaya, because It's.
And I feel like he kind of gave us a hint with that. He drops Easter eggs. Yeah. He really does. And he's good at it because he's been in this game for so long.
Yes.
But he lets things slip. And like when he was first doing his interview, he did his first interview about the comeback when it was announced. Yep. And he was there. They asked him, how would you like to see Jason come back? And he said, I think it would be really great. He goes, years ago, Jason rode his motorcycle into the Quartermain living room. Because I think it would be great for him to ride it into Sonny's place.
Yeah.
And Jason did that because he was mad at the Quartermains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was like a, ooh. And I mean, one, Jason's not going to be mad at Carly for planting Dex. He's going to be thrilled she didn't take over herself.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's not going to be thrilled that Sonny got Brad out of jail, if they let that even come up. He's right. Definitely not going to be thrilled about Sonny siding with Nina in the custody fight. And Sonny guilted him and Carly for falling back in love when they thought he was dead.
Yes.
While lying about his involvement with Nina.
Yes.
Even though they both instantly locked those feelings away again and went into we must support Sonny mode in any way we can. He right. guilted them both when they had done nothing wrong.
Right. They didn't.
And Jason even questioned him at the cemetery about why he wasn't madder at Nina, because Jason did know at that point they knew that Nina had known he was alive.
Yes.
So Jason's spidey senses were already tingling. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be happy about Sonny cheating on Carly, especially after the,
yeah,
you know, that he fell back in love with her. You know, even when he wasn't back in love with Carly, he took Sonny to task more than once, saying, I gave you my family because I thought you would treat her right.
Yeah.
And you're not. And it's not okay with me. This is going to be even worse.
So do you think that the return of Jason means the beginning of the end for Drew?
I don't know that it's the beginning of the end for Drew, because I've seen a lot of the Drew back about the things he's going on.
I like the turn in his character.
I do too. And see, my thing... I disagree with a lot of people who had an issue with how Cameron was playing him even before this. Yep. Because the thing is I don't know if you remember when Billy Miller was first on and he was playing Jake, because yep. they didn't know who he was.
Yep.
He didn't know he was supposed to be Jason. He had absolutely no memories. Yep. He was goofy. Yep. He ate go-gurt. He called Taylor Swift T Swift and was listening to her. You know what I mean? He yep. was goofy with absolutely no memories, no expectation. This is how this guy acted. Then when he found out it was Jason, he turned surly.
Yeah.
And then stayed that way even after he found out he wasn't Jason, because he was mad about his life being taken away again.
Yeah.
But it made sense to me that this is who Drew is.
Yeah.
Because this is who he was when no expectations were on him.
Exactly.
And he came back from, you know, the Victor thing, and he said, I am not going to let this be my life. I am putting it behind me and I want to be happy.
Yes.
And then he ended up in prison. I also disagree with people about them saying that he just went for Carly, because it was much more than that, but not everybody watches everything. But he got beaten mm-hmm. and they're doing a PTSD story with him. They've said that. They've been saying it since he got out of jail. And it's not just PTSD from what happened in prison. It's everything coming to the forefront.
Correct. Yes.
And I think it's fascinating. From what I understand, this was the story that they were originally going to do with Drew when he first came back, but everything got thrown in the air with Burton leaving. So I think it's really fascinating. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I don't think it's necessarily going to be the end of Drew, because they're not making him a bad guy. This is coming from a place of mental illness.
Yeah.
So he can be brought back from it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's a character worth bringing back from it. Absolutely. You know, he's a good guy, and shows need good guys, yeah. You know? So I think he can come back from it. I think he's going to go much further down the rabbit hole.
But I like it, because it's one of the biggest problems that I see, especially on social media, is that people don't want to acknowledge real life situations. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. You watch soap operas, wrestling, entertainment for an escapism. I get it. Mm-hmm. But when you're a soap opera that's on 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, you have to deal with realistic situations.
Absolutely.
The fact of Drew being first of all, he was kidnapped, you know, going over to, you know, the Middle East to return money, you know, and then plane being shot down, being held by Victor Considine, then for a number of years coming back out. And he's just this happy-go-lucky guy. I'm so happy to be home, happy to be with my family, this and that. You would think that this break would have happened a lot earlier, you know, and I get it. Going to prison for what happened, you know, warranted or not, I understand why it's coming out now.
Right.
Because it, you know, the fact that he had to go to prison for this, you know, it's just a rem you know, a reminder of time being held captive. So
And him getting beaten was a reminder of powerlessness that he felt when he was captain. It's a straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. It's a compilation of everything. And he's even said that, but people are ignoring that.
you're right. They are. They're ignoring it. And see, the thing that I really like about him is it's the subtleties in what he's saying. For the people that are upset about some of his actions, they have to actually pay attention to the dialogue. When he put Nina up against the wall and got in her space, and people were so upset about that because of the whole male on female violence, you know, dynamic. And I get it. I've never been a victim of domestic violence. You know, I've never been around it. So I can't empathize with people who may be triggered by something like that. But see, here's the thing, is that he specifically told Nina outright, I cannot do to you what I would do to you if you were a man.
And we saw him punch Ned when he thought it was Ned. We saw him punch him. He wasn't threatening Nina. He was saying, I can't do to you what I would do if you were a man. Now, I am a domestic violence survivor, and it did not trigger that in me. That's not how I saw it. Another subtlety about that. Like people were like, you know, he was mimicking what he wanted to do. That's an acting tick. Cameron Matheson speaks with his hands. He does it all the time. He
Italian
mimics.
for all the time too.
He always does it. And that's what he was doing in that scene. And as soon as he stopped talking, he dropped his hands. And they didn't even have him in front of Nina. He was to her side. And Cynthia Watrous did not play that like Nina was afraid of him. She was like, you know what I mean? It was her saying, oh, there's something wrong with this guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't a fear thing that they did. And, you know, there's a lot of subtleties that people are either not picking up on or are willfully obtuse to because they just want to bash the character, which, whatever, it's a soap opera, hate whoever you want, whatever. But they're laying the groundwork. And I mean, they've told us in articles that this is a PTSD story. And he has said that on screen, we've seen Sam was worried, Carly's worried, you know, they're worried. They're seeing the stuff.
Oh yeah, because especially with his decision making, how emotional it's been. Whether you want to say him taking Nina out of Crimson to bring Carly in, you know, was out of spite or whatever. It's not a good business decision. You know, and you know, no matter how successful Carly was of running the Metro Corps and now with Bobby's and everything, she's a fantastic businesswoman. You'll never take any of that away from her. But jumping into a fashion magazine feet first, where there's a deadline coming up for a next edition, you know, there could have been a different way for him to logically, as a manager of a media company, handle it. And then
My
be
thing is that he was getting rid of Nina no matter what.
Yes, of course.
Nina was gone. He was not letting the woman, he couldn't trust her. And
Right.
who would have kept her in that job?
Exactly. No, I agree with you there. And then with the whole thing about Scout's you know, schooling, you know, I got her into this great private school and yada yada this, yada. Did you even ask her if she wanted to go? Did you even bring it up to her mother? And I do like the scene we had a couple of weeks ago with Sam and Drew, where they talked it out, and you know, he's like, I'm sorry, I should have asked you and brought it up to you. And you know, because she's like, oh, well, you don't, you know, she told Scout, oh, you don't have to go, you know. She's like, I'd rather make my daughter happy in the moment and then talk to her about it, you know, after. And I thought that scene was fantastic because you're seeing the double side now. You're seeing where Drew is like, okay, let me take a step back. here's the right, you know, here's the right way
right.
to make the decision. So the conversations are happening. So you're seeing right. the two, you're seeing the very emotional side, where the PTSD gets triggered, because, right. you know, he's getting that post-traumatic stress from not being in control, whether it's from being kidnapped, being in prison. I can understand all that. So wherever he feels he can put his control in, he will. And then it's like.
Mm-hmm. And he had promised Carly, because she said she had told him that day in the kitchen, if you don't drop this with Nina, I'm not staying on at Crimson.
Yes.
And he promised her he would. And then the next day they go into the office.
Yep.
And Nina has
yeah.
ruined their whole office, which triggered that lack of control in him again.
Yep. Because the same thing with Michael. Right. He goes to Michael and Michael gives him his resignation. And he's like, no, I want to keep you on. But here's the thing. I want to set up Nina, and goes into the whole thing. And Michael's like, you know what? I can't. I'm
right.
You know, I'm trying to save my marriage. I'm trying to do what's right for Willow and the kids. And Andrew's like, you know what? You just said the right thing, because I can trust you, and we're going to keep you on. So you're almost seeing, you really are seeing that those two sides of Drew right now.
Right. And we're seeing the descent.
Yes.
Into more and more of the bad. And I think that's going to continue to build.
Yep.
I think that it could play into things, you know, well, it will play into things when Jason comes back.
Yes.
Because I think it's going to probably build to something where something he's planning to hurt Nina puts Carly or somebody else in danger inadvertently.
Right.
And Jason has to step in.
Yes.
I think that's where it's going. Just because that's the character of Jason, and they're doing this descent with him.
Yes.
But I don't think it has to be the end of the character. I think they can absolutely bring him back.
They can. And honestly, I feel like the character of Drew could have been used even, you know, even after Billy Miller decided to leave, you know, and I get it. You're brought on thinking you're one character. And then because the original actor comes back, you know, you're forced into being someone else. I understand why he left. I'm
yes.
not going to deny that. You know, it's almost like you're and it's funny because you hear it all the time, you know, when it comes to wrestling. Oh, Vince promised me I was going to be world champion within, you know, 2 years or whatever. And while that may not be true, you know, you're getting told you're going to have this main roster, main event character, and it doesn't follow through for one reason or another. So with Billy mm-hmm. Miller, you know, you get to the point where, you know, and he's a fantastic actor. You know, he was mm-hmm. a fantastic actor, and it's so sad about what happened. You know, it's heartbreaking. You know, but the thing is that character could have been on throughout, and they could have found more. But it seems like GH sometimes goes through these spurts where they kill off an entire storyline. And all right. the characters are gone, because you notice, you know, Oscar died, and then, you know, Tamara Braun left,
mm-hmm.
or Kim left, yeah. you know, and then Drew left within, you know, a couple months of each other.
Because, the thing is that with bringing Jason back, when they went back to Jason, they wanted to go back to Jason and Sam, which kind of made, you know, they played that out, and then the character of Drew is what else are they had nothing else for him.
Right.
And yeah, they could pair him with Kim, but they're two newbie characters kind of. So people are less invested.
Yes.
You know, with new characters, you put them with somebody already cemented and anchored, and it's, you know, it goes from there, you know, but with two newbies, no one cares.
Right.
They're like, whatever. You know, so I understand. I think, you know, they could have done something different with Drew, but I understand why, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yes.
And yeah. they're not going to pay actors they don't have stuff for. You know, that's why certain actors have a lot of guarantees, others have less, others are just recurring. We'll call you when we call you. It's a business at the end of the day.
You're right. And that's what a lot of people have to understand, is that it is a business. So, let's kind of move on a little bit. You know, we've been talking about Michael and Sonny and that whole situation. We did have Laura and Kevin mm-hmm. say that they're going to adopt baby Ace, and they're getting the paperwork done, get together. And you know, it's funny because you would have thought that, you know, with Spencer dying, you know, it was almost like this was the way that it was going to go, or they would have kept, you know, Nicholas and Ace off scene. Why, you know, I understand, you know, I kind of like Adam Hush playing Nicholas,
I
because
love it.
Marcus Coloma, while he was a fantastic actor, I just feel like his portrayal of Nicholas was too dark for the actual Nicholas Cassadine. You know, you want to see, you know, he's got obviously Cassadine, so he's gonna have a dark side. He's going to have that, you know, that evilness to him. But I just feel like he portrayed him just very, very vindictive, you know.
I think Adam Huss brought Nick's heart back
Yes, exactly.
in a way that we never saw with Coloma, that I never saw with his sons, with his family, with his. I saw it with Adam Huss. I didn't see it with Marcus Coloma. And he brought the prince part of Dark Prince back.
Yes.
You know, he did. I'm wondering if this whole setting, having Laura and Kevin adopt Ace, because Nicholas agreed to it because he thinks he's going to be in prison forever. But if for some reason they get Nick out early, you know, he helps them with something or something, it kind of sets up a story of, you know, him wanting his kid back.
Yes.
And Laura being like, well, we adopted him. And Kevin's never been a father, and now he is.
Yeah.
And Nick's like, well, sorry, I want my kid. But, you know, so it sets up future story, I think.
Does absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things where you have to go ahead and look at, you know, the fact that it will be, you know, future storyline based. However, while Laura and Kevin are talking to Martin with everything, was it Martin? No, I'm sorry, it was Sonny. I'm sorry, Sonny came over.
Right after Spencer died.
Yes, after Spencer died, you know, and then Cyrus came over. But I'm trying to think, after Martin left, Cyrus came back. That's what it was. Because he wanted to say that he was going to start his own radio show. And a lot of, you know, it's funny because while we say that, you know, people don't pay attention to the subtleties with some things, then there are times where they pay attention to the subtleties a little too much, because the biggest thing that was all over Facebook that I saw was the fact that the call letters of the radio station started with a K. And for anybody who's in media, knows that on
A
the
W.
Mississippi, it starts with a W. So, you know, it's one of those things where you could suspend your disbelief, you know.
Like there was an alien. I always say to people, you were fine with an alien living above Anna's garage. And this is where you draw the line. Because they draw the line at crazy places. Like you were fine with a diamond that controlled a machine that froze the world.
Yes, exactly.
But call letters on a radio station are a bridge too far for you.
Right. So it's funny where people draw the line, but either way, you know, it's now, what is your take on Cyrus? Do you think he's reformed? Do you think he's still a
I
bad,
think he's a total bad guy. I think that he is using it's not like a cult, but I think it's how he sends messages to his network.
Okay, yep.
Of bad guys. He's absolutely still a bad guy.
Yes.
But he's trying to lay the groundwork to be able to, you know, return in triumphant style to being the boss. And I think that this radio show is ways to pass messages that are coded.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I have said it, you know, that I feel that they were going one direction with Cyrus when we saw him, you know, as the boss of Mason and Austin. And then when they, you know, released Mason from his contract, he's in prison, they killed off Austin. I kind of felt like they went in a different direction with the Cyrus character, where now he is trying to be redeemed. But I do agree with you that he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Jeff Cober is such an amazingly talented actor, and the character of Cyrus is a very cerebral character. And, you know, it's like, for those of you guys that are wrestling fans, Triple H at one point in time was known as the Cerebral Assassin. I'm sorry, Triple H, but I have to give that title now to Cyrus Renaud.
He's phenomenal. And it's he's such a bad guy, but you're almost wishing for his reformation to be real.
Yeah.
But it's so delicious that it's not. You know, it's such a great story, and it's been so well acted that, you know, I will give them more leeway
Yeah.
with stories that are so well acted and that they're crafting something serious. And I'm enjoying this one. I am.
I am too. And I'm anxious to see where they go with it. Because we've obviously had the Dawn of Day cult. You know, we've had Shiloh, and that's where we got Willow from and Harmony. And, you know, we got Christina out of there. So they've done the cult thing, but this is a new twist now.
Yeah.
And I like
I
it.
think it's using biblical references to send messages to an, you know, criminal syndicate. And it's something you haven't really seen before. I don't remember that on soaps ever.
No, I have not seen that before either.
Rare on a soap opera.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's move on a little bit. We did have Valentine's Day in Port Charles.
Yes.
You know, we saw Curtis and Portia, you know, on their anniversary date, and you know, they're getting closer. You know, that storyline needs to pick up a little bit, I feel, with Curtis getting his, you know, getting his walking ability back.
Yeah.
You know,
I
because
think they kind of missed the boat in not letting him do it while trying to save Trina from something, but
exactly. I would have thought that that would have been like the whole heroic, he's got to jump out of his chair to save Trina.
right. That's why I thought he was coming.
Yeah,
Or
exactly.
that's why I thought he was going to Paris, was to do that. But
But I guess
yeah.
not. But
Yeah.
it's funny because you look at, you know, Curtis in the wheelchair, and he's getting to places where you're not normally seeing wheelchair accessible, you know, ramps or, you know, handicap accessible areas. So it's just, you have to suspend your disbelief again. But you, like on the boat, for example, you know,
Yeah.
there are
Well,
very,
that was a crime scene.
yes, the boat, exactly. But they do need to pick that up. You know, I like that Portia and Curtis are getting into a better place now. And, you know, he had the surgery. He's getting his, you know, confidence back. And, you know, I almost thought that he was gonna, you know, walk on his first try and be done with it. But obviously that's a little
Yeah.
too
Yeah.
magic.
Yeah.
But you do want to go ahead and look at what it is, and they're gonna have him walk soon. I can guarantee you that.
I would say no later than May sweeps if it's not now. If it's not in the next, you know, week and a half, it'll be probably around May sweeps, would be my guess.
Exactly.
That's a sweeps kind of thing usually.
Let's see. We did see that. We did see Maxie confide in Sasha that she still has feelings for Spinelli. We saw Cody kind of, you know, bomb the axe throwing, or how they say, hatchet throwing game, so that,
Yeah.
you know, they'll pay for Maxie and Spinelli to be on a date. I thought that was cute.
I enjoyed those greatly. I really do. I love Sasha and Cody, and I have always been a Spixie fan. So I thought it was cute and it was lighthearted, and you need that balance.
You do, yeah.
And I like how it also kind of helped bring Cody and Sasha closer.
Yes.
Which,
You know, that's another thing. The Tomlin family, welcome into the chat. How do they get Curtis on the boat? Exactly. We don't know. One of those things where you have to suspend disbelief. But I do like the chemistry that, you know, Sasha and Cody have. And I'm anxious to see what's going to happen when the truth comes out about him being Mac's son. You know, because that's obviously in the background. Well, she knows.
She knows. And what's beautiful is that with the lie she told Nina, about being her daughter, she's almost like the perfect person to understand why he's telling a lie. You know what I mean? Even though it was a different lie, she has a very unique perspective into why somebody would lie about their identity.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It works
and can out. Give him grace for it.
Yes. And it works out. I would like them to acknowledge that they're in love or acknowledge that they want to be together. I think Cody is being tremendously patient with her about, you know, everybody grieves differently. You know, your husband and a newborn in the same
year, right? Yeah,
is a lot for somebody. And then having, you know, having not only the TV station try to screw with your head, you know, just to get clicks on social media, but then your own mother-in-law trying to manipulate you and
letting someone drug you.
Yeah, exactly. So she's gone through a lot. So
yes,
the fact that she's actually on her feet, she's actually come back from it, and is that shows a lot of strength in Sasha's play.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I understand her wanting to take time, but right now it's like, you know, Cody cares about you. He was there the entire time that Gladys was doing this, and he was trying to warn you about it. So he clearly cares about you.
Right.
So, you know, it's time to take that to a new level.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Which I think we'll see in the next few months too. I think there's kind of a pause on a lot of that while waiting for John J. York to come back.
Yes, of course.
I think that will be where we see more advances in that story.
Yes. No, I agree. And he's doing, you know, from what I know, you know, he's doing fine. He's recovering well. So he'll be back, you know, in no time.
Yeah, he said he's hoping for a late spring.
Yeah. So, all prayers to Mac, John J. York.
Absolutely.
And, you know, prayers to God for, you know, his continued health and recovery. And then we did have, we finally did have a Chase and Brooklyn semi-love scene. They got, started making out, you know. And here's the thing. I do not hold it against anybody for what they feel comfortable doing or not.
I have no issue whatsoever. I think Chase and Brooklyn bring romance.
Yes.
I think they have very, very sweet romantic moments. They share passionate kisses. I mean, of course, I love scenes between my fave because it's soap opera, but there are plenty of other couples that could bring that at the same time.
And we saw Michael and Willow. That's it. You know, it's
exactly Curtis and Portia. It's, you know, I mean, I thought, and I think it's fine. I have no issue with somebody who says I'm, you know, it's not like she's refusing to kiss him.
Right.
Exactly. Or he's refusing to kiss her. Right. You know, they are playing in a relationship. We don't have to see them naked in bed together.
No, we don't. For that, you can turn on porn. I mean, it's
exactly. It's yeah.
Oh, hey, Nathan, welcome to the chat. How are you tonight? You know, and it's, I agree. That was one of my biggest things when people were coming out against, you know, Amanda Seton and
Josh Swickard.
Josh Swickard. You know, you got to respect their choices. You know, they are actors, and a lot of people are calling for them to be fired and everything. And, you know, it's funny because that whole thing came out because my normal co-host, Christy, was on a Zoom with them and asked them about love scenes.
So it's her fault.
It's her fault. And then somebody from Soap Opera Digest or Soap Opera News picked up the story and didn't go full into details. And that whole thing started. I have nothing against them. Yeah, sure. I would love to see Amanda Seton be, you know, show a little bit more skin, especially in a sauna. There's no reason to wear blazer in the sauna, but it is what it is. I have no
right.
And
I think honestly, that was more about she felt like she had extra baby weight that she hadn't lost yet, more than the, you know, other part. But yes, the sauna thing was a little bit ridiculous. The blazer was, there's a lot of overuse of blazers on that show, but that's a whole other conversation.
Exactly. So kind of moving on, you know, we saw Jocelyn, you know, before we get into anything else, but we have to kind of backtrack a little bit. You know, Jocelyn's obviously trying to find Dex. That's when Carly's, you know, finds out that Dex is going to the Pine Barrens and everything. But the scenes between Eden McCoy and Maurice Bernard this week, you know, in Dex's apartment. Fantastic.
They were.
You know, Courtney Falk did a great job, you know, portraying Jocelyn while Eden was grieving her, you know, her mom and everything.
Yep.
But to see the fire from Eden McCoy, Eden McCoy is a mini Laura Wright.
It was perfect casting.
It was
perfect casting.
It was. She has the fire behind her. Hell, Sonny, I hate you. You can feel the emotion. And he's like, I know.
And the thing with Joss is that she should be a character. I mean, they've let Joss hate Sonny a lot over the years.
Yeah.
She raged against her mother when she got back together with Sonny the last time. You know, and they've really, and I mean, the things he did to her father, the things he's done to her, you know, Joss is somebody who should just be able to hate Sonny.
Yes, exactly.
You know, tolerated him at times, whatever, but not be oohing and aahing over it.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, everything she said to him was very
real.
It was. And justified and very, you know, and her feelings are her feelings. And the things she said to Carly today, I mean, Carly's my favorite character.
I haven't watched the thing yet, so
Okay. I won't spoil it for you then. But she told some truth to her mother today that, you know, I'm fine with.
You know, and it's funny because she's the voice of reason for Carly. You know, Carly gets sucked in at times to whatever drama there is because that's who she is. But Joss sees things. She can get emotional because she is Carly's daughter.
Yeah.
But she does also bring the voice of reason. She'll go to Sonny and be like, you know what? He was helping you.
Right.
You know, and you're sending him away. And I hate you. You know, you've hurt my mother numerous times. Now you're doing this to me, you know, and Sonny expected it. He's like, I know. And he walks out.
And I know a lot of people took that as Sonny not caring, but that wasn't. You know, Sonny wants Jocelyn to love him and be close to him. Yeah. It wasn't him not caring. It was him knowing that there was no other way this conversation was going to go.
Exactly.
No, and there was no use arguing with her about it because that wasn't going to help.
No. So, all right, kind of moving back on after that. So it looks to me like it looks to me a couple other things just to quickly to go over. It looks to me like Nina and Valentin may be starting a rival magazine to rival Crimson.
We found out today what happened.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to watch that today. We'll go over that next week. But, you know, no.
Yes. I had thought that was going to be it too. And then I was like, well, maybe he's going to give her his ELQ shares instead. Or maybe he's going to give her interest in Deception. He didn't do any of those things, but he did do something. And yeah.
So I'll have to take a look at that later.
Yeah. Today was a really good episode, actually.
So how did you like Nina overhearing? No. It was Ava overhearing what Sonny was talking to. I think it was to
Michael
about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like Ava,
yeah.
Even though she, you know, helped kill my fave's son. I still like Ava. I do. I think they're moving towards Ava and Sonny are going to have sex again.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know that it'll be a relationship, although they would kind of make sense in a relationship because she's very accepting of the mob and, you know... And she would be a good mobster's wife because she can, you know, deal with the crap.
Yeah.
I don't know that she has the patience for Sonny long term because you have to.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that they have an interesting dynamic going on right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I've seen some theories. People think that Ava could be behind all of this. And
well, with the news coming out that Olivia Jerome was killed just randomly, like it was random that she was brought up and killed from a prison transport and everything.
See, I didn't think it was because Olivia was a mob boss and Jagger had said mob bosses across the country are being targeted.
Okay, I must have missed that comment.
Yeah, yeah. He had told Dante and Anna and Jordan that mob bosses across the country were being targeted. So it made sense to me because she was one. Ava's reaction, I don't want to say it wasn't what I was expecting, because her and her sister weren't close.
Right.
At all. And downright hate each other at times. But at the same time, you'd think your sister's killed, there's going to be some sort of emotion, and there was none.
Right.
Which made me go, maybe there is something to this. But yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be interesting.
It would be.
She was Machiavellian this from all behind the scenes, but.
Yeah, and we've seen Ava lose a lot of her steam over the years. And I understand losing Kiki and then, you know, having Avery and being the mother. Yep. So I do understand that. But Ava Jerome is a strong character.
She is. And Maura West is a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. Maura West is fantastic. I'm still a fan of hers, even though she has me blocked on Twitter, on Twix. I know exactly where it came from too, because I made a tongue-in-cheek comment years ago about when we all thought that Ava was leaving, and I said good riddance because I did not like the character.
And she thought you meant...
I meant the actor.
Her. Yeah. So
I'm blocked by two General Hospital actors, one being Maura West and the other one being Nancy Lee Grahn. Nancy Lee Grahn, it's because of political things, and I'm not going to even go into that at this point. Catching up on chat a little bit. Let's see. Nathan said, Sunny doesn't give a damn if Jocelyn hates his guts or not. She had no problem benefiting off of everything Sunny had. Come down the line, Jocelyn will have no problem with Sunny again.
I want to touch on that for a second.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are like, Jocelyn, you know, loved Sonny's money. Jocelyn's father is a billionaire.
Yes.
He has a trust fund that probably has more money in it than Sonny has.
Yes.
Jocelyn Jax does not need Sonny's money at all. And right. She raged against her mother marrying that man and was forced into the situation as a teenager. She has... That, you know, she's been forced to like him, but she came to it very unwillingly, which is why she left it so easily too.
Then he says, if she wants to also be mad at someone, be mad at your idiot brother and mother when it came to Dex and her idiot boyfriend too. Well, see, here's the thing. She fell in love with Dex knowing he worked for Sonny. So the fact is that there was only going to be one of two ways out. Either you're leaving town or you're leaving in a body bag. So, you know, you could blame Michael for getting him involved, but she made the choice to get involved with him after knowing he worked for Sonny. So
right. It's
not even like they could have said, oh no, just pull out and go, you know, no, he knew too much.
Even though General Hospital goes back and forth about whether you can leave the mob.
Right. Yeah.
Luke couldn't. And then they let him.
Yeah.
Sonny couldn't. And then they let him.
Yeah.
Jason left multiple, they go back and forth about whether or not you can. So
yeah.
That one, I'm like, it just depends on where we are in the storyline, whether or not you can leave the mob.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah.
No, you're right. They do. They change their rules as much as AEW changes their. And Tom and family, I know you'll understand that one. And then Nathan goes on to say, it's not like Dex got killed. He had to leave to protect himself and Jocelyn too. Again, Jocelyn being a, you know, young 20-year-old girl in love is not going to see it that way.
It's very dramatic. And I know that because I have a 20, almost 21-year-old daughter, and I have a 25-year-old daughter, and both of my daughters were in theater. So they're even more dramatic. It's all, I mean, all of us remember back then.
Yeah.
It was all very, you know, you think about high school loves and, you know, early 20s loves. It was all very larger than life and all consuming. And that's where they are.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I remember I was laughing because when Jocelyn and Dex were first together, everybody's like, why are they having sex all the time? I'm like, because they should be.
Right.
Because that's what kids that age do. Are you just, what were you doing then?
Right.
You can't get enough of each other. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yep. Exactly.
So yeah, it's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I believe, one other thing. Danny gets brought home by the cops, you know? It's for drinking in a parking lot, you know, or at a park. You know, and I get it, underage drinking, that's one thing. But I'm almost wondering if this is going to lead to, because I know a lot of people say, oh, but this is where Jason's going to come back because he has to be a parent to Danny or whatever. But do you think this is going to have an effect on Alexis, where Alexis could kind of talk to Danny and be like, these are the dangers of drinking?
I mean, possibly. I mean, that whole scene with Alexis and Sam baffled me, and even part of the Sam and Dante scene, because she was talking about, you know, Danny's DNA and it being hardwired and getting it from Jason. It's not in Jason's DNA.
Right.
It's from the brain damage, and you don't inherit that.
No, you don't.
It's in his DNA. It's there because of Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and alcoholism, his uncle on his father's side, and Alexis, but AJ's dead, so they could do that.
Yeah.
Same time, he's 14, he drank once, I'm not sure. You know, the fire escape down 17 flights is a little concerning,
yes.
But I don't believe for one second Jason would even have a fire escape near his penthouse, because that's too easy for your, you know,
enemies to come enemies. Up. Exactly.
You know, but she's had the penthouse for a few years, maybe it was recently installed. But I'm like, I think I'm wondering, because her and Elizabeth are having a conversation on Friday. Sam opens up to Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got the vibe from that she could be worried when Jason comes back about his influence on Danny.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's going to be, you know, a bonding thing that him and her and Liz, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the conversation on Friday. But it baffled me, all this talk about him being hardwired to be like this because of Jason. And I'm like, nope, he'd be a goody-goody, loyal, good friend, Boy Scout, getting ready for college and med school, never doing a thing wrong. And, right. You know, that's what his DNA from Jason says.
Right.
Unless he went driving with AJ. That's the only way.
Right.
Jason, because, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've kind of covered everything for last week.
Mm-hmm.
Another kind of quick thing. We did see a couple of scenes with Blaze and Christina. I absolutely love that pairing. I'm all about hashtag team craze. Trademark. But I do love Blaze and Christina together. I like that pairing. And you know, with Christina telling Blaze that she had to tell Molly and TJ about it and the whole thing, you know, and then she told Molly that she let Blaze know and it wasn't going to be a threat or anything. So she's acting a little bit more mature. She's still that bull in the china shop at times. And you know, and this is one of the things that I've been talking to Christy about, my normal co-host Christy about, in that Kate Manzi brings a maturity level to the Christina character that, while Lexi Ainsworth was great, she didn't have that mature air about her.
Right.
Kate Manzi, she's still playing Christina to the point where, you know, she's still impulsive and she still, you know, does stuff without thinking. But almost like now she can see why that was the bad choice, or she can explain the choice a little better so other people understand it.
Right. And, you know, with Lexi, she looked so young,
yes,
that it was easy to forget that Christina is about 30 years old.
Right.
She's only a couple years young, a few years younger than Michael, who's in his mid-30s.
Yep.
You know, and you see that more with Christina, with Kate Manzi's Christina.
Right.
And I like that. I think she has good chemistry.
Yes.
With the Blaze actress, I'm interested in the story coming with Blaze's mother coming on. That'll be an interesting dynamic. So I'm enjoying the story too.
Yeah. No, I really like, I like their chemistry, you know, and of course there's always going to be the rumors are out there that she's, you know, Lila Ray Alcazar, you know.
I wanted that so badly, but it's not with Eva Luru coming on.
Yeah, no, it's not. Because that's clearly not Sky Quartermain. But and it kind of brought the opening for Ted King to come back, but because they said, oh yeah, well, he was spotted at the studios. Well, he could have been filming anything
there. I still think Ted King is coming back as Alcazar, but obviously, yeah, I do. It's my speculation. I think he is who has Jason.
That would be a good thing. A good thing to play out. I would love to see them kind of double back to right when they started all the crossovers with All My Children, One Life to Live, and they went to Teddy Delgado's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tomas Delgado, you know, where they saw the picture and
they were like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's Alcazar. And it was like, it was Sky, Blair, Sam,
Carly.
And Carly going down to Taya's house, like, where's Tomas? You know, and I would love to have that double back. And even, you know, if you have to integrate some more, you know, like Taya Delgado back into the story for it, I would love to see that.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of think they've been dropping hints about it because they said that whoever's targeting is the international arms dealer. Yes. Is an international arms dealer, which Lorenzo was before he came to town. You know what I mean? So it would absolutely make sense. And he'd absolutely target Jason because Jason was the one who killed him.
Yep.
Killed him.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I'll believe, and Ted King is just a phenomenal actor.
Yep.
And I would do anything to have him back on GH. I really would. He's phenomenal.
He is. He's a phenomenal
actor. I'll believe any story they tell me about how Lorenzo died or that he's the third triplet brother.
Right, yeah.
Exactly like him.
Lorenzo and Luigi.
Yeah, Luca Alcazar.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah.
And according to Nathan, Ted King is recurring on B&B, so it's not like he's contracted.
Yeah.
Although I've been watching B&B for a couple of months now, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's not actually recurring. He's a guest star.
Okay.
He was nominated for the, and he hasn't been on in many, many months, and there's no sign that we're going to see him anytime soon.
Okay.
Gotcha. He was at a B&B fan event a while back.
Yep.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a while back. And he said, because somebody asked him about if he would ever go back to General Hospital, he's like, it's really funny. I'm having lunch with Frank Valentini next week.
Yeah.
Which is what really got everything
started. Yeah.
So I could absolutely see him coming back.
Yeah. I could see him coming back as well. And I think they have to. All right, so we're just about out of time. We've gone through everything in Port Charles from this past week. Christy should be back next week. But before we go, something that Christy and I normally do, Angela, is we do what we call what I actually stole from the Road Dog and his Oh You Didn't Know podcast. But the Thankful Minute. Mm-hmm. I set a timer for a minute, and we just go through what we're thankful for in our lives, whether it's last week or just, you know, in general, what we're thankful for. So I always, you know, as a gentleman, I always make sure the ladies go first. So, Angela, I'm going to set the timer. Give us what you're thankful for right now.
I am thankful beyond all measure for my 5 wonderful children who are amazing. I am thankful for my very large, crazy Italian, Irish, Catholic family and all my millions of nieces and nephews and my brothers and sisters and all of that. And I'm thankful that I get to make a living doing what I love. Mm-hmm. And my great friends and my great life.
Fantastic. All right. You done or you got more?
Yes, I'm good.
All right. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and set the timer for myself. All right. I want to thank you. I'm thankful for just everything. I've recently myself started getting back into church, and without the, you know, support that I've had from not only my family and my wife, but also from my church family, losing my grandmother would not have been, you know, would have been a lot harder. You know, and for those people that know, she was suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's. And so we lost her years before she actually passed away. So we had our time to grieve. This just kind of, you know, put the ending on it. And I'm really thankful that, you know, for those of you that know, you know, I've been out of work since October. So, you know, trying to grow the podcast network has been great. And I've been having fun, but it's just not making money. But I did get two job offers in a day this week. So, you know, so I will be back to work. And I did, you know, decide to take a job that will allow me to continue a consistent podcasting schedule. So I'm happy about that. So, all right. So just to let everybody know, just kind of reiterate, we are an official affiliate of WWE Shop. So go to studsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch to get your awesome NWO merchandise and any other merchandise gearing up for WrestleMania. And we do get a commission off of it. So help us out with that. But, you know, Angela, where could everybody find you on Twix or social media?
Brooklyn 74. Or you can just search Angela Ryan Duncan, and my face is on my profile on Twitter. I have an Instagram, I have a Facebook, everything's open. Absolutely love to chat with people, and anybody has any, my DMs are open. You can ask me questions. I'll share any information I have, and I have some very interesting things coming down the pike. I mean, I do my podcast. There's more coming up and more exciting things in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned.
All right, fantastic. And as always, catch Days for Dummies on the 10th Floor Podcast Network here on YouTube. And, you know, for everybody, for everything else, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here, Dockside at the Bay, where we talk about, we'll be talking about The Bay, The Beginning, episode number 6. So, you know, we're over the, is it episode 6 or episode 7? I actually have to check that. Dockside at the Bay, let's see. Yeah, we'll be talking about episode 6. So check that out tomorrow, 10 p.m. right here. My co-host Kim will be here with me tomorrow as well. And just, you know, enjoy the show. Enjoy the, you know, the General Hospital or whatever soaps you watch, whether it's whatever entertainment, I should say, you watch. Enjoy it. Don't hate watch it, because that bugs the hell out of me. But, you know, enjoy the ride. So we'll be back next week. Angela, thank you for coming on and short notice.
My pleasure.
And we'll hope to see you back here again soon. For Angela, I'm Vinny. We will see you next week. Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle. Have a great day, everybody. All right, live stream has stopped.